a few Bibles. Get past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, get to Galatians, and then Ephesians. Be reading Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Be reading all the way through verse 22. The reason for that is the Bible was not written in English, it was written in Greek, and when the Apostle Paul wrote this, this was all one sentence. I'm not going to be preaching on the whole thing this morning, but want us to get the whole idea of what Paul was saying. So starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that He Himself might make two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, this is Your Word and You are good, and we ask that Your goodness would confront us. Lord, that Your goodness would minister to us. Your goodness would bring us comfort. Your goodness would remind us who we are and whose we are. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. She remembered. She remembered the dirt, especially. She remembered feeling the dirt on her skin. She remembered washing out the one bowl that she ate from for that week with dirt. She remembered the dirt and the grime. She remembered the feeling of the pack heavy on her back. She walked. She remembered what it was like to be 7 days on the trail up and down the mountains in the Adirondacks in upstate New York with a group of peers. And as Sandy Hernandez related this to us in staff meeting this past week, she remembered at the end of that 7 days, then spending 3 days by a river in solitude, fasting, just her Bible, a notebook, and some water. She remembered. And she remembered the dirt especially. How it felt to be so dirty. No shower for weeks. Sweating. She remembered and remembered the ache and the pain. I could see it in her face, even though it had been many years since she'd had this experience. I could see it as she related it to us during staff meeting. You could see that she remembered how her legs felt, how they burned going up the mountains, how her lungs felt, how it felt to be, well, in the same clothes for over a week. She remembered. And there was some pain in that memory. It brought up some pain, but it brought up grace as well. And this morning, as we come to the Word, Paul calls us to remember. In verse 11, he says, "Therefore, remember." And why? Why should we remember? After all, many here have become new creations in Christ Jesus. We want to forget about the past. We want to move past that, be done with it, be gone with it. Why should we remember? Well, we need to know we need to know who we are, and memory is part of that. We need to remember who we were, because when we forget these things, we are prone, because we are human, we have a bias in our hearts, we are prone to be dividers. And we are prone to our own pride. Memory often brings with it humility and mercy and compassion. Because all of us have hurts. All of us have pain in our past. All of us have struggle. And all of us have been given grace. So we remember. And remembering brings up pain, and remembering brings us grace. If you think back on your life and your story, please know here at this church, we're very interested in not erasing the past, but growing from our past, understanding what God has done and weaving together our story. See, the Bible is not a book of perfect people. It's a book of really flawed people. It's a book of messed up people who God uses for His glory. And you have come to a church of messed up people who God uses for His glory. And so we need to remember what our past was. Even the pain. Do you remember what it felt like to be on the outside looking in? Maybe you weren't part of the cool group in high school. Maybe you've always thought that other people have the perfect marriage and you don't. Maybe you've wanted to be married and aren't. Maybe you're a younger person sitting here this morning and you look into the world of adults and you go, "Man, I can't wait to be there. They've got cars and they can buy stuff. They can spend their money however they want and stay up as late as they want." Remember what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. Remember the wounds from words spoken, names and labels. There are many of us here this morning who are defined still by one word spoken by one person at the wrong time. Girls who grew up to be women who this morning someone called them fat once. And they've defined their whole existence upon that. Guys who are called clumsy or uncoordinated or small. We've defined our whole existence in those terms. Y'all, I growing up was very short and very small. I entered high school at 4'11" and 87 pounds. I was too light to make the minimum weight for wrestling in the lightest weight class. And I still am surprised that I'm the height that I am, because I define myself by that memory. Remembering brings up pain. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, walks us as a church and walks the church in Ephesus and the surrounding areas right into that pain. If you look in verse 11, in your outline, I have the scripture in bold there. I'd love for you to have your copy of the scriptures open as well, because we're going to be bouncing around a little bit around this passage as well. But Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, Gentiles in the flesh, And this word formally pops up a number of times in this passage beforehand. You remember Joe preached on the passage at the beginning of chapter 2, where Paul says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived." We formerly lived among them. Remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called, and this is that label, uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision which is performed by human hands. To understand what's going on right here in this passage, a commentator, Peter O'Brien, it's in your outline, puts it this way. He says, "For Jews, circumcision, which had been given by God to Abraham, was the physical sign of their covenant, of the promises, of the relationship with the Lord, the God of all the earth. It pointed to the particular and exclusive relationship which Israel had with the God of the covenant. The uncircumcision of the Gentiles was evidence of their estrangement from God, which in Jewish eyes could only be dealt with if a Gentile became a proselyte or became circumcised to the Jewish faith." Growing up, as many of you have, in the United States, and as some of you have, growing up in a Christian home, when it comes to faith and spirituality, we see ourselves on the inside. When we read Scripture, we relate more to Israel. We relate more to the good guys, to the people who are doing right. But here's the reality. The reality is we are the Gentiles. We are the outsiders. We are the uncircumcision. The reality is when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go, right? And go where? Go and make disciples of all nations. Who are the nations? Us. We're the nations. We're part of the nation. And when Jesus gets more specific about it in Acts chapter 1, he says, "You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem." And y'all, this is where we often think we are. We think we're in Jerusalem, but we're not. We're not in Judea, in all Judea. And we're not in Samaria. We are in the remotest parts of the earth. The Bible was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. You know, Dan said last week, he said, "Praise God that we live on this side of the printing press. Praise God that we live on this side of the printing press and that we have the Scriptures translated into English, into our language." That's an amazing thing. You don't have to learn another language to open up the Scripture and get God's Word. We are the nations. We are the outsiders. We are the uncircumcision. That's who we relate to. That's what Paul calls us to remember. And for many of us this morning, that remembering that sort of brings up this, whoa, wait, no, that's not who I always thought I was. That's not part of the community that I always thought I was part of. But that's true. We are part of the nations. And when we forget who we are and we forget who we were, pride can creep in and we can think of ourselves as better than others because, well, I grew up in a Christian home. I've been going to church for 20 years. I'm this, I'm that. I have all this passage of Scripture memorized. All fine and good things. But we need to remember, we're the nations. Thank God. Thank God that Jesus gave Israel the Great Commission. Thank God that He gave His apostles the Great Commission. Because we get to benefit from that. We get to benefit from that. And so as the nations, who have been ministered to. What's our call? As those who were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, called the nations, called the remotest parts of the world, what is our call? What are we supposed to be doing? As the nations who have been reached, as individuals who have been reached, as people who have been reached, we are to turn and go and proclaim this message to others. And other nations. This fits with our goals for this year that we laid out at the congregational meeting this past Sunday. That we would embrace the cross-cultural life of our church. Gary prayed about Alianza. Alianza is our Spanish-speaking service. Happens at 11:15, right up in the mezzanine. I encourage you to attend Alianza once this year. At least once. Feel free to attend more than once. But go and experience the gospel ministry in a different language. And maybe even more than that, attend at least one ministry event that is cross-cultural in nature. You know, we have so many cool ministries in this church going on. English as a second language. We have our after-school program, Arabic Sunday School, Backyard Bible Club, and others. Go and attend one of those. And as you attend it, maybe even think about serving in one of those ministries. As the nations who have been reached, as the Gentiles who have been reached, as the remotest parts of the earth who have been reached, we turn and seek to bring the gospel and God's ministry to others. So therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember, and this is part of our story, that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a pretty bad state of affairs. That's a pretty hard place to be. And yet Paul is saying this was our state. For every single person here, we were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first," because Jesus was Jewish. Shocker. He wasn't a white guy with blonde hair and a blonde beard who walked around in a sheet. He was Jewish. And when he came, he ministered most specifically to the nation of Israel. He did not come to the United States of America. He did not speak English. Somebody translated his words into our language so that we could read it and understand it even this morning. Salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or also to the Gentile, also to us. As Gentiles, as outsiders, y'all, we are pressed up against the glass of history, looking in at Israel, God's chosen people. They were made a people. They were given community. They were given a place. They were given the promised land. They were given a purpose to be God's people and to show who God is on earth. And they were given a relationship with God. And the story of history is that we were just looking in, just pressed up against the glass, looking in, wishing that we could be part of that. Don't you, don't all of us want to be part of a people, a community? I don't care if you're an extrovert or an introvert. You want friends and want people who understand you and walk with you and have a common understanding of the world. Have a similar purpose. To have a relationship with the God who made you? Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. Sign me up. To be given a place. To be given a place. Be given a home. God knows what we want because He made us. And Israel had these things: people, place, relationship, purpose. And we were just on the outside, having no hope, and without God in the world. And that without God, in Greek, that's atheist. 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 Without God. Without the one true God of the universe who created us. Having no hope and without God in the world. It's a hard concept for us to grasp. So let me put it in a different way. Imagine you lived in a different country. And imagine in that country, the situation politically, socially, economically, whatever, had gotten so bad for you and so bad for your family that you felt the only option that you had, the only option that you had was to pack up your family and make an incredibly dangerous journey to a new land. You get into that new land and you find that you are separate from the culture. You're excluded from the commonwealth and you're a stranger. And every time in that new land that their flag is raised and their national anthem is played, you feel like an outsider. That's not your song. That's not your flag. You're here because there was no way you could make it in your own country. And so you decided to come here to America where you have been labeled an illegal. I'm not making a statement about illegal immigrants one way or the other politically. I am making a statement about Scripture. Uncircumcised. In our culture, illegal immigrant could be how we would understand that best. We, once called illegal immigrants in the kingdom of God by the so-called legal. Remember that we were at one time separate from the kingdom, excluded from the commonwealth, and strangers, having no hope and without God in the world. You may have come this morning and you go, I know what it means to be an outsider. I know what it means to be a stranger, because I've walked into this service of worship with these people who all seem to know these strange songs that are being sung. And the prayers are strange. They don't follow this set pattern that I expect them to. If I have any expectations on prayers, but I mean, prayer is strange in the first place. Who are they talking to anyway? And there's this strange bald man who's preaching from this strange book. And they're giving their money. They call it tithes and offerings. Boy, that's very strange. Who is that money going to anyway? So we pass that around. You may feel like a stranger, an outsider this morning. I want to welcome you to worship. I want to welcome you into this community. And I want you to know that as strange and as outsider as you feel, we are all outsiders who have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so welcome to a community of people who were once outside and have been brought in. And our prayer for you this morning is that this morning might be the morning that you are brought in to the covenant community, brought into God's people, and that you are brought in through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you would know Him. Because as far as maybe the songs even go, do you think they're strange? Every single song that we do was strange to all of us at one point. We all had to learn them. This scripture was strange to all of us at one point. We all had to learn it. And so if you feel like an outsider this morning, maybe it's because this is your first time in church or somebody brought you here. Maybe it's because you're sitting in a row and you're going, everybody else has got their act together. Nobody feels the pain that I feel. Nobody understands what it's like to have walked through the circumstances of life that I've walked through. Nobody knows what it's like to have lost the child that I lost. Nobody knows what it's like to have walked through the divorce that my parents walked through and I watched and was in the midst of. Nobody knows what it's like to be me, to be hurt in the ways that I've hurt. And this is my question for you. Where have your insecurities led you to put up a dividing wall between you and God's people? Because we heard, as we read through this whole passage, Christ has abolished that dividing wall. He has brought you near. Where have your insecurities allowed you to put up things that say, I cannot be a part of God's people because I'm so unworthy, because I'm so dirty, because I'm so unclean. I feel like Sandy felt on the trail, except I'm here in the middle of this service and I feel just dirty and unclean, like I haven't washed for days on end. And so I put this dividing wall between me and God's people, or even more so between me and God. Say, God, I will wash myself up and get clean and get ready for you at some point, but not right now. I'll just come and hear God's word. I'll just come and listen to the songs. I'll just come and hold you at arm's length. And we make ourselves outsiders in this way. Remembering brings up pain, but remembering brings us grace. Look again at your scriptures. In verse 13, but now, remember when Joe was preaching on this passage earlier, verse 4 says, but God goes through all these ways that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It says, but God. And now Paul does the same thing. Why does he do the same thing? Because we don't get it. Because the church at Ephesus didn't get it. Because we have to hear it a bunch of times before it actually starts to seep into our hearts. You were once formerly outsiders. All of us were. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In Jesus, you are not who you once were. Your identity has been changed. You are now defined by the blood of Christ. What you believed defined you before, whether it was pain or whether it was pride, does not define you now. As children of God, we are defined by Jesus and His blood. So whether you defined yourself as single, whether you defined yourself by your large family, whether you defined yourself as pretty, whether you defined yourself as ugly or short or tall or part of the in crowd or part of the out crowd or a nerd or whatever. You are now, as part of the people of God, defined by the blood of Christ. We sang that song last week called the 90 and 9 about the sheep that was lost, and Jesus comes and finds a sheep that was lost. It's a parable of Christ as well. He finds a sheep that was lost. He gathers that sheep up and he brings that sheep home and rejoice. Rejoice, say the heavens and the earth. He has found his sheep. We were the sheep that was lost. We were the outsiders who have been brought near, who have been brought in by the blood of Christ. And this is not no longer the blood of the circumcision. Circumcision in the Old Testament was the physical marking out, as I said before, the physical marking out of God's visible people. The physical marking out of God's visible people. Were there people in the Old Testament who were marked out as part of the visible people of God who were circumcised? Were there people in the Old Testament who wandered and walked away from God and did not believe in Christ? Did not believe in God, did not believe in Yahweh? Yeah, absolutely. We find all sorts of things going on in Israel where the visible people of God have been marked out, may not have been the invisible remnant, the true believers in the one true God. They were marked out by circumcision. No, they were part of the visible people of God. Colossians 2, 1 through 12 says this, "In him," that is in Christ, "you were also circumcised." And notice how this circumcision is different than the one that we've been talking about so far this morning. "You were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." And when Paul talks about the flesh, he's not necessarily talking about like this flesh. When he's talking about the flesh, oftentimes he is talking about the flesh versus being in the flesh versus being in the spirit. Either you are apart from God in the flesh or you are with God in the spirit. Okay? So he's not just talking about skin when he's talking about flesh. He's not saying that that our bodies are bad. He's talking about either you are part of the kingdom that is not of God, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air, or you are in the spirit and part of God's kingdom. So back in Colossians, he says, "You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." The marking out of the visible people of God in the Old Testament happened through circumcision. There was a shedding of blood. The blood has been shed for the New Testament people of God. For us, the blood has been shed. The marking out of the New Testament people of God is in baptism now. You are marked out as being part of God's church by baptism. Does baptism save you? No. Neither does circumcision. It didn't save Israel, and baptism does not save us. But it is the marking out of God's visible people, which is why here at Covenant Presbyterian Church, we baptize children of believers just as children of believers in the Old Testament were circumcised. We baptize. And we baptize believers. People who have come to the faith, who are now part of the covenant community, they are marked out as the visible people of God. And now, those who are part of the people of God have been brought into the people of God. And the mark is baptism. They might participate and have all the blessings and the benefits of being part of the people of God, part of the covenants of promise, that we are a people. We are a people defined by the blood of Jesus. And we have a purpose. We just talked about it. Go. Make disciples. Baptize. Teach. Preach. Care for the sick and the poor and the needy and the outsiders. Because you once were outsiders. We've been given a purpose. We've been given a place. Not a geographical country called Israel any longer, but the new heavens and the new earth where God will wipe away every tear from every eye and make things the way that they are supposed to be. We have been given a place. And we've been given a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so notice in this passage, the mighty reversal, the contrast. Remember that formerly you, but now you are this. Remember that formerly you were Gentiles in the flesh. This is part of our story. But now we are in Christ Jesus. You were once outsiders, aliens, strangers called the uncircumcision. And now you've been brought near and you are called circumcised, baptized, brought together with God. Even more than that, you were called adopted. You were once separate from Christ, and now you are in Christ Jesus. You weren't separate, excluded, and far off, but you have been brought near. And this is the theme that runs through the church and through history that culminates in heaven. We, in our hearts, are dividers. We are biased people. We look for ways to make us think that we are better than others. All of us do it. All of us do it. And all of us do it every day, if not every minute. We think of how we are better than someone else. It's just part of the fall. It's just part of how we are wired. No, excuse me. It's not part of how we are wired, ultimately. It's part of how we are broken. We live in a divided world. Economically, racially, culturally. We live in a divided world along lines of physical attributes. We live in a divided world. We live in a divided church, if we allow ourselves to be. Along lines of homeschool or Christian school or public school. Along lines of large families or small families or singleness. Along lines of age and race. But that is not what we are called to. We are not called to live in division. We are called to a new humanity, a new community. No longer historic Israel, one race and 12 tribes, but now a heaven community. From every tribe and tongue and nation. Gathering together, proclaiming the holiness of God. That's the place that we look forward to. Is gathering together all peoples, tribes, and tongues, and nations. And so, as those who are part of the nations who have been reached, we, and you, individually, me, all of us, are called to reach the nations. The nations might look like your chemistry class at JMU. The nations might look like your workplace. The nations might look like, literally, a different nation. Nations might look like people who are refugees here in this area. We are called to reach the nations. And being part of bringing others near through telling the gospel, the good news, and discipling, walking with them. Because we too, we know what it's like to feel dirty, feel grimy. We know what it's like to feel the weight on our back of sin. And going back to Sandy's story, after 7 days on the trail and 3 days fasting by a river, the leaders of that group called the whole group together, said, okay, last thing you need to do is run a mile. And at the end of that mile, we'll have food for you. Well, after being on the trail for 7 days, after starving, fasting, they were ready to do whatever to get there. So they ran the mile. And they came to this clearing. And the clearing opened up. There were tables with white tablecloths on them. And chairs. All these white chairs surrounding them. And fine china on those tables. And there were chefs with starched white hats. And there was a banquet laid out before them. And Sandy said exactly this. She said, "We were so dirty and smelly. We stood at the edge of the clearing and thought, just throw the food to us over here. We're not worthy to come in." They knew what it was like to be outsiders. And the leader said, "No, come in. Come and sit." And so they came, dirty and smelly. And they dropped their packs. And they sat down at the white tables and were fed a banquet. You who were formerly called outsiders, called dirty, called sinners, poor and wretched, you have been brought near. You who are weak and weary, sick and sore, Jesus says, come. Come to the banquet. Come to the feast. Come and bring others with you. We're going to close with two songs. The first is, "He Will Rejoice Over You with Singing." You who were once called uncircumcision, once called outsiders, strangers, foreigners, aliens, the God of the universe rejoices over you with singing as adopted sons and daughters, as ones who He has brought into His family. He rejoices over you with singing. And then He says, come. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you. And none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this time of song, I pray that these songs would impact our hearts and that we would grow in our love for You, and that our love for You would spill over into love for other people, and that we would go as people who have been reached as part of the nations, that we would go to the nations around us, go to the nations that are far off and near, and bring Your love, Your good news. Lord, that the song of our hearts would be, You rejoice over us with singing, and we know this. You have adopted us, and we know this. And we remember that we were far off and undeserving of any of it. But You have done it. And that song would be carried with us throughout our lives, and that others might hear this song, be drawn to You. You who welcome us, weak and weary, sick and sore, dirty, poor, blind and helpless. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.